Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking. Josephine Pembroke, and you're listening to Radio Gorgeous, and I'm here with my divine co-host, Miss Donna Freed.
Hello.
So today we're going to be talking about relaxing, because apparently I know you are stressed when you listen to this, but women in England relax more than anybody else in the world, apparently.
Laziest cows?
Yes. Well, I'd love to be a lazier cow, but we're going to talk about that later. So just, darling, tell me who's author of the week, dearest.
Catherine Grant with her book Sedition.
Seditionaries. I know that shop. It used to be on the King's Road before it was called Sex, run by Malcolm McLaren. But I don't know what sedition means. What
does sedition it mean? Means you are plotting against the monarchy or the government.
Yeah. Makes sense. That's what they were doing then, punks. Yeah. Yes. And that's what Guy Fawkes was doing. And so this book is about some seditionaries in the 18th century, I guess.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's sedition as meaning undermining. Mm-hmm. And while it is an historical novel, it's not political in the broad sense, other than female power and how it is used, abused and otherwise contrived.
Brilliant. Sounds really, really good. Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah. Would you like to have something which makes you less stressed, makes you calmer, detoxes you, and makes you younger?
Okay.
And it's free. Would you like it?
Yes, please.
It's called the Air.
Now I thought you were going to give me a cup of tension tamer.
I went to go and meet a woman called Caroline Creamer, who has invented a technique called Just Breathe. And it will give you all these things. And I went to her kind of studio. It's in this gorgeous building on South Malden Street. And
does that help you breathe?
Yeah, it helped me breathe. But I was in a beautiful room. And I had to lie down. And she just taught me these couple of, you know, things I have to do, including going, you'll be able to hear it on the podcast. And it literally, it's a way of breathing, which I did for 10 minutes this morning. And it stops stress, headaches, detoxes, everything. And it's the only thing is you do have to pay to go and see her. But we're really lucky because we've got a recording you can listen to.
Okay.
She's brilliant.
I'm listening in.
Yeah, fantastic. Exactly. And then what's next? Oh, who are we talking about on Gorgeous Gossip?
We are joined by Lucy Robinson, who plays the young queen or younger version of the queen in a play called Handbagged, which was originally at the Tricycle Theatre and is now going to be at the Vaudeville Theatre starting April 3rd. And it's, you know, as Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher had to meet with the Queen.
Yes.
Every week.
Yes.
And it sort of imagines the interplay between these two powerful women.
I love it. I love it. So you've got the Queen and Maggie Thatcher on stage. And you know that they couldn't bear each other.
And two versions of them. You know, so there's a younger version of them and a sort of older version of them.
Well, because it's like the beginning of the ten-year reign of Margaret Thatcher.
And as things went on and on and on, yes.
Just fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, and also very funny, I imagine.
Yes. It's a very witty.
So that's at the Vaudeville Theatre. I really want to go and see that with you, Donna. Because we do make our theatre trips out as Radio Gorgeous. We have to.
Part of our job.
Yes. Yeah. Now, let's have a listen then. Radio Gorgeous. We are your new best friend.
It's Handbagged, the play. It has been put on before, but introduce us to the play.
It's a wonderful play that explores the relationship between Her Majesty the Queen and Margaret Thatcher, two great female iconic figures. It takes us through the history of the 80s, through all the significant events, the social unrest, the extraordinary upheavals. It's hilarious because it imagines what might have happened in their audiences, their weekly audiences, because the Queen meets her Prime Minister every single week and she talks.
Which is amazing.
Absolutely amazing. She is so informed. Mm. You know, she really knows what's going on. So this was the very first time that she'd had a woman to share this time with. Mm. And the play investigates what that might have been like. Mm. Everybody has an attitude to Margaret Thatcher and to the Queen, very differing ones, depending on your point of view. And but of course, we don't actually know. We probably know more about Mrs. Thatcher than we do about the Queen. I think it's fair to say that actually there have been some really authoritative biographies of Mrs. Thatcher. There have been of the Queen as well, but the point of the Queen, in a way, is that she's a figurehead. She's a symbol. Mm-hmm. But she's also a living, breathing human being, a woman, a mother, a wife.
I thought that was interesting because you play... What's the structure of the play? Because you play the young queen.
I play a younger queen. I'm not saying to play the very youngest queen. However, I do have a little section when I have to be her at 21, which is quite interesting. There's a really poignant, actually, speech recorded. It's very, very famous that she recorded on her 21st birthday where she pledges her devotion to her duty. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously a really important theme for the Queen. I mean, how on earth could you carry on doing that job if you didn't entirely believe
you
in the duty?
Believe the role.
You've got to believe in it wholeheartedly to commit yourself to it. Otherwise, you'd run screaming for the hills, wouldn't you? Mm. So, yes, sorry, the structure of the play, it's a non-naturalistic exploration because we have two queens and we have two Mrs. Thatchers. Mm-hmm. So I play the queen known as Liz. And this is round about 1979 when Mrs. Thatcher came to power as the Prime Minister. She'd been the leader of the Conservative Party for some years. So that starts at 1979. So the Queen is about 50 then. They were exactly peers. They're exactly of an age. And we also have Marion, wonderful Marion Bailey. Gosh, she's amazing. Playing the older Queen, not exactly contemporaneous with now, more maybe about 10 years ago, something like that. And we also have Mrs. Thatcher from 1979, going through her all three terms, but we also have an older Mrs. Thatcher who, with perhaps a hint of the dementia that took over her life in the last few years. So what the great benefit of this is that we get the sense of the play playing out, what actually happened, and we also get a retrospective view. And there's lots of fun to be had playing between those two perspectives.
It did strike me as one's a royal, one's from the merchant classes, coming at a time when that was still very much an everyday class structure, was even stronger than it, and it still remains today. But and also that Margaret Thatcher had the power and the Queen had the responsibility.
Mm. No, that's very interesting. Absolutely. And the play explores a little bit what that's like. And there's a lot of fun to be had with the Queen from her highly, obviously, privileged, I mean, ultimately privileged and yet caged existence, commenting on where Mrs. Thatcher's roots. And the class struggles and changes that happen through that period. I mean, Mrs. Thatcher really is responsible for a lot, or certainly Thatcherism is responsible for a real change in those
huge
social structures, I think. Looking at the, you know, the so-called barrow boys in the city, you know, suddenly immense wealth coming the way of people who were not educated and certainly hadn't come from landed classes. Mm-hmm. But yes, certainly she had the executive power, but the Queen certainly has symbolic power. Mm-hmm. And the play also looks at where the Queen might have helped Mrs. Thatcher behind the scenes a little bit by talking to the other heads of state, of whose ears she had. You know, she was very... I mean, the other really key thing that the play looks at, what was really striking, actually, is exploring how devoted the Queen is to the Commonwealth, as well as to Britain as a nation.
The Queen's sort of fabulous style, although it's come back now, but her fashion icon style was sort of younger, whereas, you know, Margaret Thatcher, she was fully restyled, and she was actually considered very stylish and attractive, flirtatious, you know, as we've heard of, woman, you know, at that time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think these things were absolutely crucial to her. Mm-hmm. I mean, more and more we hear about this, don't we, about how this was part of Mrs. Thatcher's modus operandi, really. Yes. Whereas with all the men, you know, some of them she could bully and some of them she could cajole and some of them she just flirted into submission.
Mm. They're both in that role. You know, they both have consorts as husbands.
And both have consorts, absolutely. There's a lot of fun had with the idea of Dennis and Prince Philip in a sort of a male consort club. And that must have, I mean, to be fair to them both, in real life, that must have been really quite demanding. It takes quite an imaginative man, not, I think, a submissive man, but quite an imaginative and intelligent man, actually, to be able to do that role successfully. Yeah,
I did hear that those two got along better than their good lady wives did.
Yeah, exactly. One can believe it. It's so funny because Snuff was leaked, you know, from the palace. It was sort of, it became kind of known, or it was accepted as a sort of a known fact that the Queen and Mrs. Thatcher didn't get on at all. But that never came out of either of the horses' mouths. Mm. Mrs. Thatcher, you know, to her dying day, said, you know, I was her most loyal subject and, you know, I deeply respect the Queen and all of that. And I think the Queen did have a lot of respect for Mrs. Thatcher and recognised what a struggle it must have been for her, and what an incredible achievement, actually, to reach the heights that she did. However, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that she was really at odds with the direction of government policy and not happy with it at all. And in fact, there's a very critical scene in the play where it looks like there's been some big leaks, and they're both at breakfast together, just and reading these revelations that apparently from the Queen via her spokesperson. So awkward. Yes, Michael Shea, who was the Queen's press secretary, actually says it was the most uncomfortable breakfast I was ever at.
Do you feel, is there an added pressure? You know, because there's obviously a lot of pressure in any play, do your best and, you know, all that, and taking on another persona. But you're taking on a persona that, as you say, we feel like we know. We feel like there's, you know, there's our Queen.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I think there's definitely added pressure. I think there's definitely added pressure. I feel it's shared. It's a problem shared because I've got dear Marion there as well.
Yeah.
So our Queen hovers somewhere between our two versions of her because she changed, you know, she changes and her public persona has changed really quite a lot when you sort of investigated, as we've had to. It's changed really quite a lot, sort of post all the Diana business, I think, and also just as she's matured and got older, even her voice has changed. And in 1979 and through the 80s, she still could actually sound like she was in the 1950s or something, whereas she's a bit softer, not quite estuary, but she's going, she's letting it slide a little bit through the noughties. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary because everyone knows their Queen, wants their Queen. But they also, I think, I'm hoping, the audience like the idea of peeling back some layers. Mm. And everybody fantasizes what she really liked behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And we get to play with that.
Yeah, secretly, I like the fantasy that when Harry said to David Cameron, you know, my grandmother really likes Dizzy Rascal. I'm like, secretly hoping that's totally true.
So do I. I love that. We all love those stories about, you know, oh, she loves a boiled egg watching Coronation Street or whatever it is. You know, we long for the Queen to be like us.
To mirror.
While at the same time be able to have the gold plate and the gold carriage and
work it.
And totally work it and work all those extraordinary jewels.
Yeah. It's interesting because her, you know, the Queen comes to her job sort of in a very egalitarian way. There's no sexism in her job, whereas, you know what I mean? It's like equal, you know, depends. It's entirely dependent on when you were born, you know, and to whom, as opposed to what your gender. Whereas, you know, for Thatcher, you know, that was a very different thing, which she seems to have seen very singly.
I
can do it, you can do it. It's not my responsibility to help you.
Oh, Mrs. Thatcher. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she detested the expression feminist. Mm-hmm. She didn't see herself as a female prime minister. She just saw, or as a woman prime minister, she saw herself as prime minister. And you can see why. But in those days, actually, you know, we want to fake the fact that she's was a woman. That was an astonishing achievement. Interesting about the Queen, you know, being head of state. There was talk, apparently, when George VI was still, you know, still just about hale and hearty, and the Queen was about 10, there was talk that he was pressurised, not being pressurised, but people saying, you know, perhaps you should go for a son and heir now. Shouldn't you go for a son and heir? And that was still perfectly a possible situation. And he had, until Elizabeth was about, Lilibet, as she was then, was about 11, thinking that perhaps an heir would be a good idea, a male heir would be a good idea. But by the time she was 10, 11 years old, he was so impressed with her character, his dad. They were very, very close, clearly. That he said, no, I see such seriousness in this girl that I can absolutely see her as monarch. And so he actively said, no, we don't want a boy, thanks very much.
You know,
it's really awesome.
And he was proved right.
Utterly proved right. My goodness. I mean, I think, you know, Winston Churchill and his ilk were a little worried at first, this young girl, but she was so young. She was already a mother of two children, but she was only 25 and very sheltered life, inevitably, being the princess. But she was made of very stern stuff, and she'd been absorbing her roles and what it meant to be sovereign since she was really very, very young. Her father had been developing that in her. She didn't have any sort of formal schooling at all. In fact, her mother didn't really believe she should have any heavy reading at all, so apparently the only books she bought for the nursery were the complete works of P.G. Woodhouse.
Which I think is
about as good a library as you could possibly have.
Why not? Jeeves will teach you everything. Yeah. Ask Jeeves. Yes, exactly. There you go. Take care of everything.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, good luck on this
Thank
run.
You so much.
Can't wait to see it. Yeah. And thank you so much for talking to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure.
RadioGorgeous.com. And it's on at the Vaudeville Theatre very soon. Now, we're going to talk about gorgeous gossip. I found some information this week that British women have been crowned the queens of leisure. A report has found they spend on average 339 minutes a day relaxing, 61% more than the Chinese. This includes 126 minutes of telly and 87 minutes of seeing friends. My God, I wish that was true.
I find that shocking. Mm. But London, New York, I would say women were far more leisurely in London than New York.
Yeah, well, New York was nowhere to have leisure.
Well, and also you wouldn't think of being a stay-at-home mom.
What, not in Manhattan, but you would out in the burbs, wouldn't you?
In the burbs.
Yeah, you would, yeah. Now, I would say I relax. If I do anything on the internet at night, I literally can't sleep. There's something about the light or the something that goes into my kind of psyche. So I literally have to turn off, you know, have to close the cover of my laptop at 6. And that really has helped me. So I become a lady of leisure then, darling.
So you're a lady of leisure from 6.
I'm a lady of leisure from 6, which means cooking dinner, or maybe not cooking because my husband cooks, and maybe going out for another little dog walk, maybe going out to do something with you. I really like staying in, though, because I like watching telly.
But what do you think? So like you never have a cup of tea during the day or meet a friend or...
Don't really meet a friend that much in the day anymore, because twice a week I do yoga.
Okay, so yeah, that's part of leisure. Let me just tell you, it's not work. It is part of leisure.
Two whole mornings.
Yes. Okay. So you're getting the theme now, and the dog walking.
No, but dog walking. I promise. This morning, dog walking. I'm texting you. I'm ringing my mother. I'm, you know, is that meant to be leisure?
Yes, because you know most people they're at work and they're sending somebody else to pick up their dogs and walk.
Yes, but I do. Oh God, you're making me feel terrible now.
But I see. Of course, you haven't asked me anything. But of course,
well, I know you don't have any leisure, darling. Because you work
not
for me.
True. Yeah. Not true. No. Not true.
Let's hear it. Well, I know your Sudoku moments in the day, and I know you like playing solitaire on your laptop.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know you make a coffee and spend hours over it.
Hours?
Yeah, grating cinnamon into it.
Takes 30 seconds.
And I know that you have to go and collect your son from school. You could count that as leisure.
Yes.
And you have to go and watch him doing all sorts of bizarre sporting activities and scouts and swimming. Yeah. And I bet you hang out a bit then, don't you? And I bet you chat to other mums.
I spend hours on the playground.
Yeah.
Hours.
Well, I think you are moving next week. At last, Donna, we know we've been talking about this, but Donna is moving next week.
And I'm not telling anyone the address and I'll be hiding in there.
Yes. And if I were you, I wouldn't get internet in it. I wouldn't get a telephone line.
I'm moving to a cave.
You could black out all the windows as well. And have no electricity. Then you'd be really cut off and a lady of leisure.
Exactly. Squatting in leisure.
Exactly. So can you let us know what your leisure moments are, my darlings? Lovely, lovely listeners of Radio Gorgeous. But thank you so much for all our guests being on this week. And thank you so much, Donna, for being my fabulous co-host. Thank you so much to my editors. Thank you so much to the producers. Ta-ra! Thanks a lot. RadioGorgeous.com. It's love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. But the world it's love, it's love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord.